Okay? From now onwards, we start speaking about unconstrained optimization. It means that the feasible region is the full space. Okay? We want to find the minima. For instance, we focus on minima of a function f on the full space. Okay? We will devote the full semester to this sort of problem. Okay? And then, in the second semester, we will focus on the constraint case in which here we have some set D which constrains the behavior of the space we are interested in. Okay? We already introduced the definitions of local and global minimum points, so I will not repeat them. But now, my goal is to give you optimality conditions. Okay? First, I will give you conditions that say, okay, if a point is optimal, then it must satisfy these conditions. Okay? So, I will take a few results, and then I will try to prove you some of them. Okay. The first result is the following. Suppose x bar is a local minimum point of our unconstrained optimization problem. So it's a local minimum point of f. Okay? First property. If f is differentiable at x bar, then the grade of f at x bar must be the zero vector. Okay? So, if a point is a local minimum, then the gradient at the point has to be the zero vector. Second condition, if x is twice continuously differentiable at the point, then the Escher matrix of f at the point has to be positive semi-definite. Continuously differentiable. So, necessary optimality condition for a point to be a local minimum is that the gradient is zero and the Escher matrix is positive semi-definite. Okay? You've seen similar results in the calculus course, undergraduate program, first year, in terms of, at a minimum point, the derivative is zero. Okay? If you go to generic case of n dimensions, it becomes the gradient is the zero vector. So all partial derivatives has to be zero. You also seen in calculus, if it's a minimum point, then the second order derivative has to be greater or equal than zero. Okay? This is the analogous in the case of the n-dimensional case. Okay? You don't have now a second order derivative, you have the matrix of derivative of second order derivatives. This matrix has to be positive semi-definite.
What about what about
sufficient conditions, okay, which guarantee that the point is a minimum?
Well, the first case is, and it's easy to prove it, is to have condition when F is convex.
Okay? So, I can state the following. F bar is a minimum point of our unconstrained optimization problem, and I don't have to specify if it's local or global, because since F is convex, the two things are the same.
Well, this implies that the gradient is zero, but if the quantum is convex,
also the vice versa is true. Okay? So, if the function is convex, you have a complete characterization of minimum points through the gradient. So, a couple of remarks. First remark is the word local. Okay? These conditions are for local minima. Okay? We will not see conditions for global minima, because it is not enough to take into account derivatives. It's not enough to take into account the gradient and the Hessian matrix. Because when you do calculus, when you exploit calculus, you are exploiting and you are computing derivatives. Those provide you information on the function just around the point. Okay? Calculus gives information of the behavior of the function around the point. While for global optimality, you need to have information on the full space, on how the functions behave on the full space. Okay? And calculus does not provide it. Okay? Because calculus is local information. You are taking limits. Okay? You are taking limits as the point you are considering when you are doing incremental ratio approach the point. Okay? But if you have convexity, this trouble is overcome. And the reason why this is overcome is that in that case there is no difference between local and global. Okay. Also, another remark. In the general case, I have two types of conditions. Gradient is zero, Hessian matrix is positive semi-definite. In the case of convex functions, this disappears. You could ask, why? It sounds strange. I have two necessary conditions, and then when I go to sufficient conditions in the convex case, the second one disappears. And I expect sufficient conditions to be stronger than necessary conditions. Okay? Well, actually, it does not disappear. The function is convex. What did we... Oh, I erased the blackboard, but what did we say before the break? The function is convex, then the Hessian matrix is positive semi-definite. So, for convex function, this condition, this necessary condition, is satisfied at any point. It's automatic. Okay? You don't have it. You have at any point, so it's useless. Okay? And indeed, it is always true, and you also are able to check that this becomes also sufficient. Okay? So this is for free, and this turns out to be not only necessary, but also sufficient. Okay? some additional remarks. Gradient. Okay, now first of all, I will give you a name, which is the following. So, in complex unconstrained optimization, when we are looking for the minimum of a complex function, gradient equals zero is what we are looking for. In the general case, it's just a necessary condition. Well, the point at which the gradient is zero are called stationary points. Okay? In the case of a convex function, stationary points and minima are the same concept. In the general case, minima are stationary points, but not vice versa. Okay? Indeed, we will see, in November, we will see that when we build algorithms that actually compute stationary points. Okay? Which in the complex case means we are able to compute a minimum. In the non-convex case, it means that we are computing a stationary point and we can hope it is a minimum. Okay? And also, our algorithms will have some features which tell us it's likely that it is a minimum. I'm not sure, but it is likely that it is a minimum. Another remark, okay, this is true for minima. Okay, what about if I'm looking for maxima? Okay, well, as we discussed a few times, if you're looking for maxima, it is the same thing as looking for minima of the function at which you switch the sign, okay, of minus the function. The maxima of f coincides with the minima of minus f. Okay, so here it is enough to replace f with minus f. Well, what happens to the gradient? The gradient changes the sign. The gradient of minus f is minus the gradient of f. But since the condition requires it to be zero, the minus is not relevant. Okay? So for maxima, the first condition is exactly the same. So stationary point can be maxima as well. Okay? And what happens to the second order condition? All the second order derivatives switch the sign. So if you switch the sign, it means that rather than positive semi-definite, what you come up is negative semi-definite. Okay? So you can state the same theorems here with local maxima. This is exactly the same condition, and this becomes negative semi-definite. Okay? Other remarks. Gradient equals zero. So this is equivalent to say the derivative of f with respect to x1 in the point x, which allow me to write x1, x2, xn to its components. Okay, so this is x. Is zero. The derivative of f with respect to x2 in x is zero. The derivative of f with respect to xn is zero. Okay? This means the gradient is zero. Okay? All the components of the vector are zero. It's an obvious remark. This is an equation, this is another equation, and these are all equations. So I'm having n equations. And how many variables do I have? I'm looking for x. Okay? Well, x is a vector of n components, so I have n variables. Or if you want to use the terminology of numerical analysis, I have n unknowns. Okay. So, stationarity is a system of n equations in n unknown variables. Okay. So solving, finding a stationary point means actually solve a system of equations. Okay? And Professor De Villappa will teach you to solve systems of equations. So, connection with his lectures. Okay? Indeed, after the break of next week, Professor Bevilacqua will come to give you lectures instead of me, and he will speak to you about how to solve systems of equations. Okay? Another remark. Consider the case of a quadratic function. Okay? We computed the gradient last week. And the gradient is qx plus p. Okay. Asking that the gradient is zero for a quadratic function is exactly the same thing to ask for qx to be equal to b. So, sorry, to minus b. And this is a linear system. Of equations. Okay? So, if we are dealing with a quadratic function, finding stationary points corresponds to solve a linear system. In the general case, this will be nonlinear equations. Okay? General case, these equations are nonlinear. So, in this lecture, Professor Bevilacqua we'll show you algorithms for solving linear systems of equations. You have seen, most of you have seen that, have seen first methods for solving linear systems in the undergraduate programs, like a numerical analysis course. Okay? He will show you some other algorithms here, and then we'll teach you how to solve nonlinear systems of equations. Okay? So this is the first this is the reason why he will replace me, okay? Stationarity in optimization is exactly solving systems of equations, okay? A further remark on the quadratic case. Well, suppose we know that the quadratic function is convex if and only if q is positive semidefinite, and strictly convex if and only if it is positive semidefinite. Okay?
It's positive definite.
Positive definite, sorry. So, if the quadratic function is not convex, the matrix is not
positive,
is not positive semidefinite. But to have a local minimum, the Hessian matrix has to be positive semidefinite. Okay. So, a quadratic non-convex function has no local minima.
Why?
No. Any quadratic non-convex function has no local minima, because at the local minimum the Hessian matrix has to be positive semi-definite. But if the function is convex, the Hessian matrix, which is Q, is not positive semi-definite. Okay. So you have local minima just if you can have local minima only if the function is convex. Okay. If the function is strictly convex, this is positive definite. Positive definite, it means that eigenvalues are positive, it means that the function, that the matrix Q is invertible. Okay? So actually, in that case, the solution of this linear system is minus Q at minus 1b. This is the unique system solution. Okay? F is strictly convex, this is invertible, so actually it would be enough to take the inverse. Okay? But taking the inverse is costly, costs a bit, and sometimes we prefer to do something else which is less expect, computationally expect. Okay? So these are strong connections with numerical analysis. Okay? Is everything clear? So, I want you to show the proof of this result, because the proof is interesting, because most of the proofs for optimality condition exploit this idea, the same idea. Okay? And the tools to use are Taylor's formulas. Okay? The proofs of this result heavily rely on Taylor's formulas. Okay? Let's prove the first, which is the basic one. Okay? We know that X bar is a local minimum point. Okay? So we know by definition that f at x bar is less or equal than f at x whenever you take x in a ball center in x bar with appropriate radius epsilon. Okay, there exists an epsilon for which this is true. This is the definition of local minimum. Okay? Now, let's take a direction B. Okay? It means the vector is known as one. Okay? And let's consider x plus epsilon time, let's say, let's say x bar plus t times b, where t is less than epsilon. Okay? My statement is that this point belongs to the ball of center x bar and radius epsilon.
Okay? Why?
Well, just compute its distance from x bar. This is exactly, let's say t is positive, okay? The distance is less than epsilon, because when you take this cancel, you are left with this. The norm of d is unitary, so this distance is t, okay? Which is more than epsilon. Okay? It means that this point belongs to this ball, so satisfies this inequality. Okay? So f at x bar plus t d minus f at x bar is greater or equal than 0. Okay? I just moved this
here. Okay? Is it clear? I take a point which is close enough for a fixed direction D. Now I apply Taylor's formula. First order Taylor formula says that this is equal to the gradient of S in X bar times the difference between these two vectors, which is TD. So T is a number, can go outside the scalar product, plus the residual. Okay? Now, let's divide this by T. Okay? We get this. Now, remember that the norm of D is U, is 1. Okay? So here you can write this. This is 1. And if you want, you can write it this way as well. You can take the T inside. Now, take the limit as T goes to 0. Okay? This quantity does not depend on T, so it's constant. And this is the residual at a point divided the norm of the point. And the point, since T is fixed and T is going to 0, is going to 0.
TD goes to the 0 vector as T goes to 0.
Okay? So, what is the property of the residual? The residual goes to 0 faster than the norm. Okay? So this is going to 0. So when we take the limit, we take the limit as T goes to 0, this goes to 0, and this goes to this scalar product. Okay? So, since this quantity is always greater or equal than 0, also the limit has to be greater or equal than 0.
Okay? So, we prove that the gradient of S at x bar times d is greater or equal than 0.
Okay? Then you can repeat exactly the same argument
considering the direction minus d.
Okay? So here you have minus. And here you have minus. Okay? You take the limit, you get minus, and you get that this minus is greater or equal than 0. So you get that this quantity has to be greater or equal than 0 or smaller or equal than 0. Okay? Just substitute D with minus D, and you get the same thing where here you have minus D. So, since it has to be greater or equal and smaller or equal than 0, then this means that this quantity is 0. Okay. And we are done, because you can repeat this for every direction D. Okay. Now, the point is the following. Which are the vectors who have scalar product 0 with all directions?
So, let's think in the plane. You take all directions, it means you are taking all these vectors. Okay?
How is it possible for a vector to be orthogonal to every direction? Yeah. It is possible if and only if the vector is 0. Okay. The unique vector which is orthogonal to all other vectors is the 0 vector. Okay. So, this implies that this is the 0 vector. Okay.
you want, you can prove it, but it's, you can prove it by contradiction. Suppose the gradient of D is not zero, the gradient of F is not zero, then I take D to be minus the gradient of F divided by its norm. I can do it because this is not zero. Okay? And then I substitute here, and what I get is that minus the norm is zero. Okay. If the norm is not zero, I can consider this as a direction D. Then I take the scalar product with the gradient. At the denominator, I have the norm, and at the denominator, I have minus the scalar product of this vector with itself. The scalar product of the vector with itself is the square of the norm, so the denominator cancels and it remains this. Okay? And which is the vector whose norm is zero? It's only the zero vector. Okay? So, if it is not the zero vector, since it has this property, it has to be the zero vector. Contradiction. Okay? But I'm not interested in this. This is just a basic trick in linear algebra. Okay? What I'm interested in is this kind of reasoning. Okay? The point is a minimum point, so we find a suitable point in neighborhood, in the suitable ball, which has this property, and we apply Taylor's formula. Okay? Most, not all, optimality proofs exploit this idea. Okay? Even in more complex situations, in situations in which the functions are not differentiable and you use advanced tools from advanced calculus. I'm speaking for you. Okay. The proof of the second condition is roughly the same. But I don't use Taylor's first order formula, I will use Taylor's second order formula. Okay? So, if you allow me to erase, I will repeat exactly the same argument. Exactly the same argument with the same initial part, but here, rather than writing this, I will write the second order formula, so here I will have plus 1/2 t times d, the Hessian matrix, t times d, so there's a t squared here, and then I have the second order residual. Okay? I wrote the second order formula. Now, I already proved that this is zero, because point I, okay? I just proved point I, so the point is a local minimum, so this is zero. Okay? Then I can divide by d squared. This is greater or equal than zero. If I divide it by t squared, it remains greater or equal than zero. Okay? And then I take the limit. Once again, this can be, this is actually the square of the norm. Okay? So this quantity goes to zero. And what I proved is that this quantity is greater or equal than zero. Okay? But this is exactly saying that the Hessian matrix is positive semi-definite. Okay? By definition. If this is greater or equal than zero for every d, then the matrix is positive semi-definite. So, the proof in the second order case is roughly the same. You just consider the second order formula. And the third point is the easiest of all. Okay. I mean, if you're asked optimality conditions at the exam and you want to present a proof, this is the easiest proof of all, because we don't need to prove the necessary part, because the necessary part is exactly point I. Okay? You don't exploit the fact that it is convex. It's always true, so it is true also for convex matter. So this is okay. You just have to prove this. Okay? F is convex, so it means that F of y is greater equal than f at x bar plus the gradient of f at x bar times y minus x bar for all y's. This is the characterization of convexity we had before the break. Okay? Function is convex if and only if this happens for all y's and for all x. As x, I choose my x bar. Okay. So this is true because the function is convex. Now, since I'm proving this this implication by assumption, the gradient is zero. Okay. If the gradient is zero, this is zero. And what I proved? I prove that f at y is greater or equal than f at x bar for all y's. End of the proof. Okay.
What means apertamenti aperto, apertamenti chiusa?
Wait, no. I mean, I'm proving this implication. Okay.
And
I'm proving the other implication. Okay. This implication is obvious. It's obvious. We already proved it. And now we need to suppose this is true and we want to prove this.
Okay.
Okay. If you write it in words, this is if and only if. Okay. This is only if. And this is if. Okay. But what I want to stress you is this. This is very simple. You know, this characterization of a convex function, by assumption the gradient is zero, so you get optimality as a consequence. Okay. This is the easiest proof of the whole course. Okay. Because you just have to remember this property. Once you have the property, the proof is obvious. What about maxima for convex functions? We have seen that for maxima, the fact that the gradient is zero is a necessary condition as well. Okay? At the maximum point, the gradient must be zero. But we proved that for convex functions, if the gradient is zero, then the point is a minimum. Okay, so let's suppose x bar is a maximum point of f, and f is convex. Okay, since it is a maximum point, the gradient is zero. But since the gradient is zero, it is a minimum point. So if the maximum and the minimum are the same point, what is the conclusion? you have a function at which the minimum value is equal to the maximum value. Yeah, the function is a constant. Okay. So convex functions do not have maxima unless the function is a constant. Okay. So for convex function, it is not meaningful to speak about maxima.
A constant is a convex function. It can be considered.
Yes, because you, when you have the definition of a convex function, the definition is trivially satisfied because these three numbers are the same. Okay? Mm. And if you sum to this number, the same number with this coefficient, this happens. Okay? So, yes.
It's true to my agenda. Is the net is greater twice than net. Height is greater than depth.
So this is the value c and this is the value c because the function is constant. Okay. This value is equal to this value. So the inequality holds. What is not true is the strict inequality. So, a constant function is convex, but it is not strictly convex. Okay? So, I have a couple of minutes, so I think I will end with an example. Trying to answer this question. Okay, we have a good sufficient optimality condition in the convex case. But what about the general case? Okay, if the function f is not convex, how can I achieve or check optimality? Be that this condition plus these conditions together are sufficient?
For a local minimum?
For a local minimum? No, the answer is no. These are necessary, okay, separately. I hope if I put them together to get sufficiency, okay? If x bar satisfies these two, then it is a local minimum. Okay? The answer is unlikely not. Okay? And I write you an example with two variables. Okay? And I leave you the computation as an exercise. You have n equal 2, and the function is a function of x. X is the vector whose components are x1 and x2. And the function is the following. x2 minus x1 squared times x2 minus 4 times x1 squared. Okay? Exercise for you. The gradient of x is the zero vector if and only if x1 is equal to x2 is equal to 0. Okay? You take the derivatives and you solve the linear system. Then you compute the Hessian matrix in the zero vector. Okay? So you take the second order derivative
in general, and then you compute them in 0, 0. Okay?
And what you will get is 0, 0, 0, 2.
Okay? This matrix is positive semidefinite. It's a diagonal matrix, and the diagonal elements are 0 and 2. So 0 and 2 are the eigen values. Okay? So
this is positive semidefinite.
So if Luis,
yes.
If Luis' claim were true, then 0, 0 should be a local minimum point. Okay? So I leave you as an exercise to show that 0 is not a local minimum point, and I give you the suggestion. Okay? Compute f in the point in the points which are done in no sorry, which are done where is it? Which are done this way. Okay, x2 is always equal to 2 times x1 squared, and compute that in the point. No, sorry. It doesn't work this way. Here it is. Oh, no, it works. Okay? And compute the function on the point which have this form, x1 5 times x1 squared, okay? So, in the plane, you are computing the value of the function along this parabola and along this other parabola, okay? This is... Make the computation and you will find that on this point the function is positive,
always positive,
and 0 here, and on this point the function is negative. Okay, so 0 cannot be a minimum, local minimum point. Okay? So you have to strengthen Luis' claim, okay? And I will start from here on Friday. What is sufficient is not gradient equals 0 plus Hessian matrix positive semi-definite. What is sufficient is gradient 0 plus Hessian matrix positive definite, okay? So, on Friday we start from there, and then actually I will devote the lecture to give you examples of unconstrained optimization problems, okay? So, will be, let's say, no theorems, no new concept, examples.